Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode. And even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast on Pi Day, starring Dave Schilling, Jerome Mincy, Ricky Berry, Joey Devine, Chick Reiser, Daryl Chocolate Thunder Dawkins, Sean Keane, Brett Applegate, Braxton Key, Patreons, Joe Yoder, thank you Joe, Sam Tobin, thank you, Sam. Maxwell Parkinson. Thank you, Maxwell. Musical guest, Kid Creole and the Coconuts. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode, even though we uploaded an episode yesterday. And you know why that is, Sean? It's because our podcasting service, you have to leave your browser open for like 2 minutes before it uploads. So sometimes you hit upload on Friday and then close your laptop immediately while patting your hands together like, oh, I did my work. And then you look on Wednesday and you're like, why isn't that episode up?
I mean, well, it's never happened to us before.
It only happens about once every 2 months. Anyway, that's my bad. But you know what's good about it, though, Sean?
What?
Is it gives us a chance to put in a feed, in people's podcast feeds, 2 days in a row, buy Sean's album tomorrow.
That's true.
What everyone listening to this needs to do. They need to go purchase America's Uncle Dad, the new stand-up comedy album from Sean Keane, on March 15th, because if he doesn't get in the top five in iTunes, he will walk into the ocean.
If I can't take a screenshot of that iTunes chart, how am I going to play Go Bananas, everybody? Yeah. How am I going to get to the Chuckle Hut?
Hashtag Sean plays go bananas. Sean, how much extra PR are you having to do to let people know that America's Uncle Dad is out tomorrow?
Well, I'm doing a lot of podcasts, not necessarily for this week. I'm doing a podcast about hiking, but I will be providing them with audio from the stand-up show I did from the side of Mount Everest. That was all jokes I wrote on the trek. So definitely they're all winners, Joey. What you want to do is write jokes at high altitude when you're very tired and oxygen deprived, and try them out on no one before doing them for a multinational crowd getting drunk, including a table full of people who had just summited Mount Everest and were very drunk. Also, you should use a microphone that you borrowed from a all Sherpa cover band that looked like they were maybe trying to look like it was hard to tell if it's like, are they trying to kind of look like My Chemical Romance, or are they kind of trying to look like a new wave band from the early 80s. Anyway,
they were trying to look like Mother 13, Sean.
They're Mother 13, yeah. The one band that plays on the side of Mount Everest.
The band that died on Mount Everest.
Yeah, I'll also be doing a show later today where I'm not famous enough to qualify.
Great.
It's an unusual bunch of celebrities, but I am not quite as famous as Thomas Ian Nicholas, even if he's only talking about his musical career. That is, of course, the co-star of American Pie and Rookie of the Year. And in American Pie, he gets into an accident and he breaks his tongue, actually, and he becomes amazing at oral sex with Tara Reid. I believe that's the plot line.
Sean, you know, I'm glad you brought up Thomas Ian Nicholas, because I want you to know, I still haven't played Jason Tatum yet in Sin and Hurdle 2 Battle Mode, but I play Thomas Ian Nicholas kind of a lot. You'd be surprised, because you know who's in A Kid in King Arthur's Court, Sean?
Jason Statham?
Thomas Ian Nicholas. Not Jason Statham. Daniel Craig and Kate Winslet.
So I did know Kate Winslet.
Wow. You can really corner people in A Kid in King Arthur's Court pretty easily in Sin and Hurdle 2 Battle Mode. So Jason Tatum, get ready. Start studying the IMDb page of A Kid in King Arthur's Court.
So how many can you escape to the pies?
Oh, yeah. But you have to know that he's in the pies, which...
Well, and you have to know he's not in all the pies, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Sean, other than your album coming out tomorrow, which is the most important thing we're going to talk about on this podcast...
It's huge for me. I haven't slept in 7 or 8 weeks,
we should
honestly
let people know next week is March Madness. Sunday is Selection Sunday, and this year we're actually ahead of the game, hopefully. Yeah. And we will be releasing an alumni bracket before the podcast, the March Madness Alumni Tournament podcast drops. So get ready to fill out those brackets. The person who wins will get some kind of prize. Some round ball rock buttons or stickers or something.
They get a copy of the album.
And a copy of the album. Perfect. Also, there's something not on our news list that we have to talk about, Sean. It's the most important basketball news of the day. But patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can subscribe to our Patreon. roundrockpod@gmail.com is where you email us. Follow us on the non-band social media website at Round Rock Pod, and call us on the phone at the number in the description.
As Nancy Pelosi said this week, Rick Rock Ruck, you're a winner.
Sean, God, that was so insane. Sean, who's your favorite player who played in Kobe Bryant's final game? Is it Vaughn Wafer or Jose Calderson?
Oh my God. I mean, no, well, Jose Calderson was not in that game. I believe that. Oh, he must have been in that game, on the Raptors.
It's the 81 point game. Sorry, it wasn't Kobe's the final game. It was the 81 point game. My bad. But yes, who is your favorite player? I believe Vom Waferson. I've now transposed both of them. I believe Vom Wafer got a DNP coaches Dakidian. But Jose Calderson did play several minutes in Kobe's final game. I mean, 81 point game.
81 point game. Yeah.
Why do I keep saying that anyway?
It's because Sean, I don't know.
Why did they let Joey Buss type out the box score before they sent it to Kobe's statue maker?
I mean, they had to give him something. He's just, otherwise he's just around all the time.
Yeah.
And also, the problem is that he wanted to sit by LeBron and cuddle with him during the game, but Jeannie and Linda Rampus decided to take that job instead.
Is there anyone who would be madder about three typos being on their statue in NBA history than Kobe Bryant?
He's just walking away.
Claimed to love writing.
Sticking his lower lip out and shaking his head like, no, no, no.
But yeah,
the problem was the guy etching the statue was falling backwards for no reason while he was doing it and trying to get a sculptor foul.
That sculptor or the typist did not have Mamba mentality. I'll tell you that much. Mamba challenge.
But they did have Mamba mentality, actually. That's weird. And they had Bamba mentality, but.
They are definitely kicked out of Club Vino.
Well, they are allowed to be in Club Wino, however.
Yeah, for those of you, I guess we should explain what we're talking about. There are three typos on Kobe's statue at Staples Center that somehow, look, the thing, I understand there being typos. It's insane that no one caught it.
Well, it's also just weird that you would need a full box score inscribed there. I would say it's weird that they misspelled Vaughn Wafer's name, but it's much weirder that Vaughn Wafer's name is immortalized in a statue at the Staples Center. That's much stranger for a guy that's mostly known for his summer league Laker excellence.
I actually think the people who look the worst here are actually the hundreds of thousands of Lakers fans who looked at this statue for a month before anyone took a picture of it, and the Lakers had to admit that they knew that there were typos on it.
I mean, luckily, they're making him two additional statues, so don't worry, guys. But also, I heard there's a lot of Laker fans going around and they're spell checking all the murals in Los Angeles as well while they're painting over the LeBron murals and defacing them. They're also spell checking it. There was one that was I couldn't tell because it was at a liquor store and it could have been advertising a project, but it said Kobe Lean Bryant. And they could have been talking about like a cough syrup drink from Houston. I don't know.
Anyway, that is to me the biggest and best news of the NBA this week that we almost forgot to talk about. But Sean,
can they sue the sheriff's department for this somehow?
I hope so.
I feel like they should be able to.
We should always sue the sheriff's department. Google LA suing LA sheriff typos. All right. Sean, I think it's time to go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. You filled out this rundown. You have a lot of news stories here you want to talk about. Why don't you run us through what you want to talk about?
All right. So first,
it's your day. Your album comes out tomorrow.
It's true. It's true. I want to say the biggest news of the day is that Abe in Los Angeles can finally find some peace. That's right. Our displaced Detroit Pistons fan who was considering walking into the ocean over the plight of his team. Abe, it's also your week because the Detroit Pistons have won three out of their last four games.
And you know who's looked kind of good, Sean?
Who's that?
James Wiseman, baby. That dunk was crazy.
It could have just been that they needed to get Killian Hayes out of there. That could have been it. Like the Kevin O'Connor stink was holding him back, holding the whole team back. Jalen Duren had a 24-23 game. Cade Cunningham is shooting really well. I would say, I will definitively say, the Pistons are at worst the third worst team in the NBA. They could even be fifth worst.
We've been saying this all year, though, even when they were losing all the games. We were like, this is confusing because their roster is not depressing.
I mean, they made the roster less depressing, I guess.
Yeah.
There's no more Marvin Bagley. Maybe the most, like, and Killian Hayes. Those are the two most, they were the two most depressing people on the roster.
I mean, Big Jim isn't super non-depressing.
I mean, yeah, he's just, he's depressing. But when you're just, he's like hurt in a different way. The other guys are just like failures. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, for sure. But yeah, we've been saying all year that the Wizards are more depressing than the Pistons, even though the Pistons were setting the losing record.
I mean, I think the Pistons were more depressing. It's just that the Wizards weren't even trying this year. You know what I mean? Like they're like ripping the copper wire out of the walls of their teardown real estate project. Whereas the Pistons like signed a real coach and remember when
the
we thought
is the coach doesn't want to be there.
I mean, no, he wants to go home. He has golden handcuffs. Yeah, I mean, well, and then there was a moment when Washington had that Brian Keefe, they had that new coach, and it sounded like, oh, they're just gonna fire the black coach who got an impossible situation. And then the white coach was also terrible, Joey. They lost a lot for him, too. So Washington has again become woke, and those Quislings are going to lose the draft lottery.
So, yeah, shout out Abe in Los Angeles. The Detroit Pistons, kind of fun now.
Oh, one more thing.
Also, it's proof, though, if you're a depressing basketball team, just trade for Simone Fontecchio.
Yeah, I mean, that is fun. Also, their general manager cursed out a fan who was heckling him, which will either make him powerful or get him fired. Then either one is probably good for the Pistons.
Which, by the way, makes me respect him more. And makes me respect him more, and in retrospect makes me respect Bob Myers less, because remember that video of that Sacramento fan just banging a cowbell in Bob Myers' ear and he said nothing?
Yeah.
It turns out GMs are allowed to turn around and be like, hey, you're a fucking jerk.
There was a point when Bob Myers is like, I'm going to quit this job. I'm definitely quitting this
Maybe
job.
Maybe that's why he quit.
Congratulations, Kings. You drove out Bob Myers.
Hey, now he's running the Washington Commanders now, right?
I did their job search, but...
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's the reason the Washington Commanders signed Anthony Pittman or whatever. I don't understand or care about football. All right. Sean, there's a bigger piece of news, though, we didn't talk about, which is Daniel Gafford is almost as good as Wilt Chamberlain.
He's almost past Big Wilt. He has made 33 straight shots. He has gone five games in a row without missing. Mm-hmm. Wilt's record is 35 shots in a row that he did in 1967 when Joe Biden was only 35 years old. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't really know how old he was. He wasn't quite that old.
But wait, hold on. I thought, hold on. Wait, I thought Daniel Gafford was at 19,000 women. It's only 33 straight shots. Never mind. He's
as a Maverick, it's very funny because he's just like catching a lot of lobs for the most part. All of his shots have been made within 5 feet of the basket. Mm-hmm. But as a Maverick, he has blocked 28 shots, mm-hmm. and he's missed 18 shots.
That's crazy.
That's pretty good. That's
good for Daniel Gafford.
Yeah. And in second place, for sheer shooting, Ad-Rock, MCA, uh-huh. and Mike D in a three-way tie.
Great, Sean. Love the joke. Anyway, congratulations, Daniel Gafford. 33 straight shots is Luka Doncic's record, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes, he has assisted on, I think, half of, I looked it up, but he's assisted on almost half of all of Daniel Gafford's baskets. Yeah. And very only cool. because some of them are putbacks. Like, it would be higher. Although he got one against the Warriors last night, where he caught the ball like standing still uh-huh. under the basket and yeah. no one moved. And then he kind of like, he was almost like suspicious, you know, that he was that open. And then he just dunked.
Derek Lively also last night had one of the craziest lobs I've ever seen. Turns out just putting a really athletic guy to run at the hoop when Luka Doncic is there is better than having a Stanford graduate doing it. All right.
Yes. There was a very funny moment when the Detroit fans started chanting Luka sucks. And mm-hmm. Luka after the game was like, I'm confused. It's not true. they know it is not correct.
All right, Sean, I think we need to talk about Rudy Gobert.
Okay. So here's what
run us through what Rudy Gobert's done this week, because it is some Aaron Rodgers ass shit.
Yeah.
So sorry, Mr. Vice President.
So we in the end of a Cleveland Minnesota game, Rudy Gobert fouled out with like 25 seconds to go or something, with Minnesota leading by a point. And I guess he was upset about a call earlier, but on the play in question, he just like hacked Jared Allen. It was not like a hard call. And so he fouled out of the game and he turned and he made the money sign to the ref. He rubbed his finger and his thumb together, which is probably has its roots in anti-Semitism, I'm guessing. And so he was already ejected and he got a technical, which Cleveland made and then went on to win the game in overtime. Whereas if he just left the court for the final 20 seconds, Minnesota would have gotten the win. After the game, he decided to deliver a monologue about how the NBA is rigged because of gambling, which is weird because I would say that on the list of like the NBA's priorities, which is what he's kind of alleging, a game between Cleveland and Minnesota, the NBA does not have a dog in that fight. Like, they'll rig games to protect the Lakers, the Knicks, Minnesota versus Cleveland. They're like, you know, just throw them in the pit and let God sort them out, I think, for those kind of games. But Rudy said, I bite the bullet every game. I'll be the bad guy again. Well, actually, let me read this correctly.
Yeah.
I bite the bullet every game. I'll be the bad guy again that speaks what I think is the truth. Once again, I'll take the fine. But I think it is hurting our game. I know the betting and all that is becoming bigger and bigger, but it shouldn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. And then people took him seriously. Even though he is just a whiny complainer. It doesn't even make sense.
He's like, not even the first player to do a money sign at the ref in the last 2 years, by the way. If you remember, Luka Doncic did it last year.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. And I just think, like, there are issues with the NBA getting involved in gambling. Yeah, but it's
wanting
not
gambling so bad.
Yeah, but it's not like fixing games. Like, I don't really understand how. I mean, I guess it means more people are gambling, and that's probably, you know, bad, because gambling is designed to separate people from their money. You're not betting against each other. You're betting against a giant corporation that makes enough money that they can sponsor an entire cable network and essentially bribe them into filling SportsCenter with over under and gambling odds. But I don't really understand how that means Rudy Gobert is getting fouls called on him.
Yes. I do think that Tim Donaghy happened when gambling wasn't legal.
Yes.
What's the likelihood it's going to happen when it is?
Right. Well, I agree with that. But also, Tim Donaghy is like a big liar that people think isn't a big liar.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So there's stuff that Tim Donaghy is like, we'd make a bet on if a player tied his shoe, he'd call a foul on him. And it's like, I don't know if that really happened. Like he says a lot of things in his book and his documentary that are like provably false. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like, but of course, everybody likes the NBA to be a conspiracy. I am old fashioned. I think that the NBA rigs games to help the Los Angeles Lakers.
I also will say, Scott Foster, the one thing that liar Tim Donaghy actually won't talk about is Tim Donaghy did call Scott Foster 134 times between October 2006 and April 2007.
It's true. And they were talking about, according to Scott Foster, they were talking about
Jack Harlow.
What Flintstone lady was hotter?
Yeah.
Apparently, because they like to have little stroke sessions before the game. Yeah. So they weren't as, where they were too horny to ref a lot of the time. That's what.
You're too horny for
can't
over unders. All right.
It's also just very, it's just weird that Scott Foster still has a job. Mainly because he's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's.
Yes! He's embarrassing, and he called Tim Donaghy called him 136 times.
Yeah.
But what I will say is.
Don't call another man that many times.
That's not the problem. Like,
but you're making too many phone calls.
Another
even
man.
Even in 2002.
Okay.
I did say that badly.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Are you going to start referring to people as females next?
I mean, if he was calling females that much, it would also be a problem.
Yeah. What I do want to say is this is an especially bad time to make this complaint, because Sean, I don't know if you've noticed, but remember like a month ago when everyone was complaining about how scoring is out of control?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Scoring's way down since everyone's complaining about that. And you know why? Because free throws are down like 25%.
Yeah, there's
clearly the NBA was like, hey guys, just stop calling free throws as much.
Unless they're playing Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
And he'll be at the mothership in Austin watching the showcase. He's going to also be a panelist on Kill Tony.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be very exciting. And he's booking a 4.5-hour spot on Joe Rogan's podcast. They're going to keep it brief.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that we're making fun of people for having podcasts that go too long? Ha! Okay.
All right. Sean.
Yeah.
We've sort of talked about it, but I think Steph Curry sort of dodged a bullet this week because RFK said that.
Oh my God! Yeah,
said that Aaron Rodgers was going to be his vice president mm-hmm. the day Steph Curry said he wanted to run for office.
Yeah. I am the biggest
Steph Curry fan in the world, and here's what I will say. There, Steph Curry has brought me more joy than anyone on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Please do not run for office because I do not want to hate you.
Yeah, I mean, this is... I'm going to say that a lot of people have this bias where they believe that people that they like or enjoy or spend time to believe in the same sort of things that mm-hmm. they do.
Yeah.
And objectively, if you look at Steph Curry, I think his... many of the things he does are very admirable. Like he has mm-hmm. a foundation for kids and he gives people free meals.
And but he genuinely seems to care about women in sports, which is cool.
Yeah. That being said, there's a big mural by my old apartment in Oakland, which is a pro reading mural. However, mm-hmm. the book that Steph Curry is reading is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to... you just have to accept that if you're a very serious Christian like Steph Curry is, many of his politics are probably not going to align with all the things. Like, I just don't want to know what Steph Curry thinks about the abortion issue because I'm going to be disappointed.
I can tell you it's going to disappoint you because he's alluded to it.
Mm-hmm. He's and I'm sure he's like, I don't think Steph Curry is prejudicial to the gay community, but I don't really want to know how he thinks God feels uh-huh. about that. And we already know how he feels about
low-income housing.
Not even low-income housing, but not non-millionaires living near his home
uh-huh.
and making the city build like a wall to his castle.
Yeah.
So but that's like also the case. I saw our friend Bill Handstock at Sundown Motel on Twitter had a very interesting observation when there was some question about what fictional characters would have been at January 6th. And mm-hmm. he correctly concluded that every member of the office at Dunder Mifflin would be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because they live in rural Pennsylvania. Uh-huh. They have conservative ideas. Everyone's like, do you really think Jim Halpert is a liberal?
Yeah.
The man who bought his father's house. He sells paper. Anyway, please don't run for office, Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Also, like, why would you want to do that?
And
like,
also, please stop making horny talk shows with your wife.
Well, and like, horny, it's weird that it's like, I mean, I guess being a foot fetishist does not really disqualify you from the Senate. Now, mm-hmm. that being said, I probably would take Steph Curry over either of our choices for president right now, mm-hmm. even as an active player. I feel like that would be better.
All right.
So
first off, we should mention the noise in the background for Sean is his dog going ham on a toy. And it's adorable. It's fine.
I can't.
I just wanted to point out that it's happening.
And also that it's like moaning in a weird way. And this morning she was eating a bone and she had a ball underneath her and a ball to the side of her head. And she had her paw through the loop of a monkey toy. She really likes her toys. That's mm-hmm. it's just, you know, that's a lot of fun loving dog.
She's she's a kid. All right.
She's a kid. Speaking of podcasts and Steph Curry's future press secretary, Draymond Green.
I was actually going to ask you, Sean, who would you rather vote for president, Steph Curry or Draymond Green?
Jesus. I guess I would vote for Steph, even though I think my personal politics are probably closer to Draymond's.
I'd vote for Draymond.
I feel like,
I mean, I would write in Anthony Randolph.
Obviously, yeah. We both would.
But he's,
I think Andre Iguodala would be the best president of the
recent Warriors. I don't. The best president of recent Warriors.
I mean, it might be Brandon Rush. Honestly.
No, I think it's Juan Toscano-Anderson, actually.
but, he'd be good. He'd be good.
Yeah. But I actually think Steph would be a better president than Andre Iguodala. Like, Iguodala is like a fake intellectual who's
he's a real intellectual, how dare you, now you're making some questionable comments.
He's like, that's like, you might as well vote for Chamath. Chamath, what is his last name? The guy who owned the Warriors, who hosts that...
that weird pod that was that like, weird, he's like Elon Musk. He'd like, apparently he would come to Twitter like right after Elon took over and just be like, yeah, fire those guys. Yeah. And just like cheer him on.
And then he's like, he ran for governor in 2021.
Yeah.
And then he, on his weird podcast about like throwing homeless people out of San Francisco.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And also poker, he like was saying that he was like pro persecuting the Uyghurs in China. Remember?
That's right. Yeah. Or like, no one cares. We hate them. Yeah. We hate the Uyghurs.
Anyway, that's Andre Iguodala is the Chamath.
I think Andre has like read books about like Black history, which
yes,
I think maybe
true.
Sits
that
him
is
aside.
True and
he's
cool,
like,
but...
yeah. I'm just saying that I don't think he's a fake intellectual. I think
sure.
he's an
I
actual
also
intellectual.
Think he would be full. He there's part of Andre Iguodala that would be full on in text. Big pockets. All right.
Yeah. I mean,
that is the worst.
Some would step it. You don't think Steph Curry would, or Draymond Green? Like the Warriors are. Yeah, we're basically
anyway.
Rooting for a well-funded venture capital firm.
I fucking hate it. All right.
I mean, the other teams are also bad. I guess I don't know. Okay.
But anyway, back to Draymond Green's
podcast.
Back
to Draymond Green. He had two guests on. I just want to talk about him briefly. Paul Pierce finally confronted Draymond Green about his famous heckle, where like 50 seconds into a game, Paul Pierce was yelling that Draymond Green had fouled Blake Griffin. And Draymond famously said, there's not going to be a retirement tour. You thought you was Kobe. There's not going to be. They don't love you like that.
It's true.
Paul Pierce changed his story for like the fourth time. Said he didn't hear it and that only TV cameras picked it up, and he heard about it like a week later when it went viral. All right, sorry about that. She's really out of control.
Oh, that's okay.
I gave her a non-squeaky bone. All right, so he changed his story and said he didn't hear about it and had made some like, I remember he made a comment about it like a day and a half later. And Paul Pierce is just like he's one of our like last pre-internet superstars. I feel like I know the internet was there, but Paul Pierce still uses social media.
He famously didn't really know how to use it.
Yeah. He uses social media like he's 75 years old. And I'm sure he's constantly pocket dialing people and trying to send a voice text, but letting it go and then sending somebody like a transcript of 3.5 minutes of him having a conversation with someone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what did come out, though, was that predictably Draymond Green acknowledged that he could never announce his retirement until he takes off the jersey. Yeah. And but he did amusingly say that that was the reason to tie it to Steph Curry's last year. is that he could just
he and Stephen Clay, he said, could all retire
just ride the retirement tour while they're much less popular than Steph Curry, because he's an expensive backpack for 30, and we all know that. Jordan Poole said
you're
that
you're gonna get punched in the face.
I'm gonna get punched
by
in the
face. New president of the United States, Draymond Green.
I would vote for him. I think. So
the
second
here, though, Sean, about this.
Yeah. Sorry, he had a second liar. What is my question here, Joey? Paul Pierce.
Mm-hmm. What about?
Is there anything about Paul Pierce that we haven't learned yet that we still need to know?
I want to know. Has he ever been to Istanbul?
Yeah, let me hear your accent. Say hi, accent.
Hi, guys.
She from Istanbul. From Turkey. We've been to Turkey's before.
Oh, he has been to Turkey's before. Never mind. Okay, all right, that's the last thing I needed
to
know.
We know it all. Yeah.
All right, who was the other
liar? Benzino even said why he got stabbed.
Oh, yeah? Why? I missed that.
He was dating a girl and he didn't know it was some gangster's girlfriend.
Okay, fair enough.
We got stabbed.
All right,
it sucks. That's not a good way to deal with it, but there's not any mysteries left with Paul Pierce. We don't need to know how he feels about Ray Allen. But now he's going to join Skip Bayless, apparently, which is not a good idea. No. That's not a word. I don't see him sparring.
It's not a worthy adversary for either of them.
I mean, that's a very funny adversary for Skip Bayless, because he's just going to laugh at him.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because of what Skip said, but okay. The other old overrated NBA star who desperately needs attention, Isaiah Thomas, came on the Draymond Green show. And he said that until watching The Last Dance, he had no idea that Michael Jordan had negative feelings about him.
I can't talk about Isaiah Thomas's lies anymore. Like, I just can't do it.
He's just lying.
He's been replaced. Let's talk to the other Isaiah Thomas about his lies, about how he could still score 30 in the NBA or whatever, even though he doesn't have a working hip. No more. Thomas.
It is wild.
No more. Also, I can't do it anymore. Like, he's a bad guy.
He is a bad guy.
And he lies, and he's not even entertaining. At least Paul Pierce is entertaining.
Yeah. Paul Pierce is like lies for like funny reasons.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And like can't decide whether he should say that he shit his pants or not. Like and Isaiah Thomas, the way he says it is just so annoying, and he's smiling. It's like, we all know you had to pay a giant $1 million. You get fired by a small college team. You get fired by the Knicks. You get fired by the Pacers.
You got hired by the Suns.
And in 2000, and like when Magic Johnson's book came out 15 years ago, he pretended that he didn't know that Magic Johnson kicked him off the Dream Team.
Yeah.
Because he hated him for that. Because he kept saying that Magic was gay.
Yeah.
Right after he got an HIV diagnosis. And now they're not really friends. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, there are consequences to Isaiah Thomas's actions.
They used to kiss before basketball games. Yeah. And he's such a bad guy. Magic Johnson, a man who only tweets about how much he loves people and things.
Yeah.
And like a golden
retriever.
It's not
like the bar is super high for Magic Johnson to be your friend either. Like he's a nice guy.
Magic Johnson is probably my friend and I've never met him before.
Yeah, he'd take a picture with you.
Yeah,
he'd
be like, you can call me Buck now after we took the picture.
After reading a very long Magic Johnson biography, it's pretty clear that Isaiah Thomas was not a good friend.
No. All right.
Okay. But yeah, you're done. You're in your 60s.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan is never going to give you the satisfaction. Don't act like you're going to fight him. You're in your 60s.
Also, here's a hot take.
Yeah.
He would have sucked on the Dream Team.
Yeah,
he was a great NBA player, sure, But you want little Isaiah Thomas dribbling around and yelling at everybody on the dream
hanging
team?
Out with you in Barcelona? You don't want that man representing America. Like, that's a bad influence on other countries.
Here. Michael Jordan was the point guard. It doesn't look like we don't need
I mean, just bizarre, inexplicable. I mean, Magic Johnson was the point guard.
Yes.
Yeah. John Stockton was the point guard. You need
well, John
the
Stockton
most annoying...
didn't really play that much because he was kind of hurt. But yes, yes.
Well, I mean, he probably wouldn't have played that much. Anyway,
I mean, honestly, the guy
he
on
didn't
the
play
dream
that
team...
much because he was John Stockton.
Yeah, honestly, the guy on the dream team who was really the point guard based on how they played was kind of Charles Barkley.
Yeah, he really was. Yeah.
And that's way cooler. Well, here's my hot take.
No one missed him.
The world would love basketball as much if Isaiah Thomas was on the dream team. That's
yeah,
my
it
hot
been
take.
Like, it would have been like Luka Doncic would have been like,
this guy with big knee pads pointing
soccer
at people, get out of here. Out of here.
Yeah. Like, he would have said horrible things about,
yes.
Like Charles Barkley said something like, I don't know where Angola is, but I know Angola's in trouble. That's funny.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas would just be like, kind of seems like there's a lot of AIDS here.
Yeah, exactly.
Magic, you know anything about that? Ugh. He sucks.
All right.
Okay.
You know who doesn't suck, Sean?
Who's that?
Thibodeau's defense now.
We are living in the Tibisance right now.
Tibidosance.
The Tibidosance.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks
the
have held. Yeah. The Tibbeting. I don't know. Thibodeau Rising. Okay, so the New York Knicks have held their opponents to 74, 79, and 79 points their last three games. One of them they lost, which is almost more delightful. Josh Hart is averaging 42.7 minutes in his last 10 games, including a game against the Warriors where he played 47 minutes and 10 seconds in this stretch. We also had a game where Miles Deuce McBride played over 47 minutes off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
He came into the game after Jalen Brunson got hurt on the first possession, and he never came out. Also, it would be an even higher average, but Tom Thibodeau took him out after only 39 minutes in a game where he had 20 and 19. What was it? 2019 and 10, which is pretty ridiculous. And they took him out with 6 minutes left because the Knicks were up 29 points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is like the greatest thing that's ever happened for Tom Thibodeau. Okay.
Yes.
Joey, what else could happen to make things even more tibsy in New York or even the world?
Wow. His hair suddenly grows back. That mullet
he
had.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only dream, right? That's the only dream he has left to conquer, right? Is his hair growing back. It's got
I think he'd I think it would be great if a woman proposed marriage to him again so he could reject her in favor of basketball again.
Yeah, he did do that.
Didn't he date a woman named Nancy when he was dating another woman named Nancy too?
I think that sounds
feel
right.
Like that's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
it seems,
you know what?
Insane.
That might have been a Steve Clifford story though.
Another man.
Tibbs.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Steve Clifford really is We Have Tibbs at Home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, you've got less hair. You're more frustrated by young people. Like,
this behavior is actually affecting your health for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, Tibbs seems like he's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think Tibbs works out?
Yeah, he has. Did we make that up? I can't remember. Did we make up that he has a weight bench or did we learn that? either one seems true, but it's
I
true in my mind that he has a He has a little weight bench where he watches his fill mat.
I see him walking at like a brisk pace on a treadmill while breaking down game film, and it's at like an almost it's at like a very mild upward angle, like one you wouldn't notice with the naked eye, but he's like, no, it's a 0.4% grade. And he just does like walks at the same pace for 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. That's what I imagine.
Here's the one thing I think. Look, I don't have any reason to think this, but I do think the one dream that Tibbs has that could come true this year is they let him participate in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on July 1st. Oh my gosh. Doesn't it seem like he'd be into that?
I mean, I think he'd definitely want to coach it, if nothing else. Or, like, he'd be looking at the thing they dip the hot dogs in, and he's like, that looks refreshing. Yeah. Or, I mean, also, I could definitely see Tom Thibodeau, like, throwing a medicine ball to an assistant coach while wearing a singlet. Mm-hmm. I could see him doing that. And I could see him, like, with one of those... I don't even know what those machines were supposed to do, but they've got like the vibrating band.
Yeah, yeah. The Road to Wellville
machine. Basically. Yeah. Anyway, congratulations to Tibbs for absolutely living your best life.
Sean, we're at 50 minutes. So there's something I want to do real quick. You rode Josh Hart's NBA Peloton ride. Do you want to give that a quick review?
I'll give it a quick review. So it was a weirdly themed Peloton ride. It had it featured Alex Toussaint, who is
from the NBA Celebrity Game.
NBA Celebrity Game MVP. He's definitely very into basketball and almost certainly hired like a skills coach. I think he's like one of the most successful Peloton instructors. I had not taken a lot of rides with him, but I followed up this 20-minute third quarter NBA ride with I did his 10-minute low impact ride, which was a little higher impact than you'd think. And then I even did his weights class. So I gave him a full 40 minutes of my time, the length of a college basketball game. In this ride, so he's on his bike. He's doing it live in the studio in New York. And Josh Hart is slightly to his left, mostly not on camera, but weirdly, for most of the ride, you can kind of see Josh Hart in a mirror, which was a weird way to do it. Alex is wearing a Peloton jersey. He's number 25 and a gold chain. And he said that this ride highlights the game time mentality, and his big phrase is, "Are you ready to go to work?" That's what he says at the start of his rides. They all have catchphrases. Emma Lovewell says, "Live, learn, love well." I don't remember what anybody else says, but they all have their own like catchphrase. They sometimes do these things as two for one rides where they'll put two stationary bikes together. That is not the case. Josh Hart, I don't think he wants to be like directly full face on camera, but he's working out. They're saying now the whole theory is that it's the third quarter and that this is a game of runs. And Alex Toussaint insists that the first 5 minutes of the quarter sets the tone. Josh Hart is basically nodding and agreeing with everything, but he also maybe doesn't want to talk because he's riding a bicycle pretty fast.
Sure.
Also, while I was doing it, someone named Beer Bourbon Barbecue had their 100th ride. So congratulations to them. I want to community. The first part of the ride was very easy. He referred to it as the layup line right now. Josh Hart shared that the first thing he does for a game is to pray for protection and for healing. That seems very wise when Tom Thibodeau is your coach. He said his top basketball memory was the 2017 NCAA title at Villanova, where they had a players only meeting. A players only meeting is very much in the spirit of encouraging Peloton speak, I would say. Alex Toussaint was really cramming in the basketball metaphors. At one point, he said, "If you miss that interval, get back on defense, get him on the next possession." And this was basically the structure of it. He said that the workout was a game of runs. You may have the lead, but if you don't pay attention, the other team can come back.
See, so, if somebody says game of runs when I'm riding a stationary bicycle, I'm like, oh, they just shit their pants.
Yeah. And so the concept was that for 30 seconds, we would sprint with relatively low resistance. I found it actually so light that I had to crank it up, but I'm built different. And then when the other team had the runs, you had to add resistance and then stand up and jog on the pedals. And we basically just did that for 8 minutes, 30 seconds on and 30 seconds off. And then Alex Toussaint was really trying to cram in. He's like, give someone a high five, put it up on the scoreboard, take your teammate with you. And I was alone. I didn't really feel that much community for the people in the studio, but Josh Hart would nod his head. And then also he did say at the end of the workout, when he had some more intervals and we were kind of climbing, he said, you can't win the game at the end of the third quarter, but you can lose the game. Kind of think that's wise, actually. Sort of made sense to me.
Did
but
he
it also,
plug his podcast?
He did not plug his
Lighthearted.
Podcast.
Lighthearted.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think he's a good Peloton instructor, though.
You think Josh Hart is a good Peloton instructor? Or
no? I didn't know Josh Hart had a podcast.
Yeah,
I
yeah. It's called Lighthearted. No, Josh Hart.
I mean, these Peloton instructors also have like podcasts and books. I don't know why you would ever read a book written by a Peloton instructor, but you know what?
Get that money.
I support them all. I'm sure that Emma Lovewell book is called Live, Learn, Love Well. I try to have non-white men as my instructors. Mm-hmm. I'll make an exception for a gay white man, but
Alex Toussaint's book is called Activate Your Greatness.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right. He's very handsome. Also, what's great about Alex Toussaint, I like, is that he'll set like a pace and an interval for people, and he's clearly riding his bike way faster on a way harder workout.
And he does not have a podcast, but he was on Scott Van Pelt's podcast.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's all about the work, Joey.
Yeah.
And also, he encouraged us to continually put our threes up because this is a third quarter podcast. It was weird. He had like way more thoughts about third quarters of basketball games than I did. And even Josh Hart, like he'd say a couple things and Josh Hart's like, I'm just pedaling. But also clearly Josh Hart, it was just amazing to me that he also threw in a Peloton workout for this week.
Like
No one needs less cardio than Josh Hart. It was effortless.
All right. Sean, you also wrote 10 essay questions for me to answer, but I'm going to hold off that for this episode, and we're going to record a Patreon episode this weekend entitled 10 Essay Questions, where I answer those questions.
Okay, sounds good.
That'll be available on patreon.com/roundball, round rock pod. God, I hate when I mess up my own URLs. And I think that's our episode. Sean, please tell people where they can buy America's Uncle Dad. You can pre-order it right now, but more important, you're more likely listening to this on Friday, so you can buy it right this second.
You can get it on Apple Music. You get it from Bandcamp. The links are on blondemedicine.com. You can also, I'm plugging it on Twitter and Instagram and even TikTok, because I defy the government just like an RFK Jr. vice presidential candidate. Do you think Rudy Gobert would... Oh, he's not eligible. He's not eligible to be the vice president. Okay, sorry. Sorry to Rudy, but...
I mean, he will be when RFK Jr. repeals that to get him on the ticket.
That's true.
After Aaron Rodgers...
Big Pharma, Rudy Gobert citizenship.
After Aaron Rodgers dies because they made him get the vaccine that one time.
Yeah, can oh no, RFK Jr. had a heart attack from a combination of he was just having too much bee pollen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need the vice president to step in. Ooh, he can't be bothered. He's at a darkness retreat.
Yeah, he's too busy recording Pat McAfee hits. The State of the Union this year will be on the Pat McAfee show.
I don't know.
With AJ Hawk staring off into space in the corner.
the economy's strong.
I don't know how we got there from plugging your album, but by America's Uncle Dad.
America's Uncle
by
Dad.
By Sean Keen. Sean is so funny and I love him so much, and that's why we host a podcast together, and he's my best friend.
Thank you, Joey.
For some reason I cannot find my Muniz tweets and I am stalling.
Oh, that's all right. I'll tell you what, it's funny because, if you look for America's Uncle Dad, it's basically all me except an Upworthy article that asks who is America's cool uncle.
Mm-hmm. Who did they say?
I'm going to give you the number. Okay, number one. This is very weird. Mm-hmm. Jack Black.
Mm-hmm. It's fair enough.
It's not the worst answer.
Kyle Gass to me has more uncle energy than Jack Black, but
I'm going to give you the top 10 real quick. Matthew McConaughey, Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges is not an uncle. Robin Williams, Danny DeVito, Weird Al Yankovic,
John Candy. A lot of these have more dad energy than uncle energy. Yeah.
Snoop Dogg does kind of have.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
Weird.
Bill Murray.
I'm done with this.
These are not. This is not a great list. Good.
You can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. We're on 8/16/15. I tweeted, I've probably flown on 3,500 flights, but just experienced a first. Barfed my guts out. Sean
barfed his guts out.
Sean, once again, instead of playing one of your songs, we're going to play a track from America's Uncle Dad.
Thank you so much. Your new stand-up
comedy album. Do you want to tell our listeners which track it is?
Yeah,
should we surprise them?
No, we're gonna play a track about the Big Johnson Corporation.
Great. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all, ride Pelotons and forget Isaiah Thomas exists.
Right around sixth grade, every kid I knew started wearing the shirts called Big Johnson t-shirts. You may be familiar with Big Johnson t-shirts. Big Johnson t-shirts were fake ads for products, but really you were bragging about your big old Johnson. Because what is sixth grade about, right? Besides packing heat every day, just bringing the thunder every time you're changing out for PE. Typical Big Johnson shirt would say something like, Big Johnson baseball bats. You always know you're swinging the good wood when you're holding the Big Johnson. That's great, but I didn't know that Johnson meant penis. And so I was confused. I was just like, the Big Johnson Corporation, they make baseball bats. They have a carpet cleaning service. They have a casino that has liquor in the front and poker in the rear. These are not complimentary businesses. The overhead on the gaming license alone. And I finally learned, I was like, they're big penis shirts the whole time. So I got very paranoid about that the rest of my life. So when I got to college, I would see some kids from Southern California wearing t-shirts for their favorite burger place. Didn't exist in Northern California at the time. A little place called In-N-Out Burger. And the first time I saw an In-N-Out Burger shirt, I was like, I get it. Sexual intercourse burger. I got it. Makes total sense to me. Didn't think anything more about it until about halfway through my year. The girl who lived across the hall from me had a car for the weekend, and she said, Sean, do you want to go to In-N-Out Burger with me? And I was like, yes, I do. I really do. So we get in her car, and she's hyping up In-N-Out Burger like you wouldn't believe. She's like, Sean, In-N-Out Burger, it's going to change your life. I said, yeah, that's honestly exactly the change I've been hoping for a couple of years now. And she says, we got to go off the menu. We got to use the secret menu. I'm like, okay, I'm in. And then she says, Sean, I think you should get it animal style. I think we're both really going to enjoy animal style. I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but sign me up for animal style. And then just then we ran around a curve. We reached Pinole. And I saw the sign for the In-N-Out Burger, and I realized it was a restaurant. And I've still never been this disappointed as an adult. And the only consolation I have is at least she wasn't super into Five Guys. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been a very different college experience. Would have needed a lot of Bible verses on the bottom of my fries.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.